This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Last week, voters rejected two state laws in Michigan designed to allow wolf hunting in the Upper Peninsula. Those votes are seen as largely symbolic. The legislature approved a voter-initiated law that takes effect in March, allowing the Natural Resources Commission to designate game species. That is expected to lead to a wolf hunt next year. Nancy Gibson is the co-founder of the International Wolf Center in Ely, Minnesota. Nancy Gibson, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So your organization noted this vote this week, put out a press release and a statement on it. What should we read into this as Michigan residents as we consider the whole big issue of wolf hunting?
Well, I think it just continues the tradition of the wolf being an extremely controversial animal. And it has, the foes of wolves have not escaped politics throughout history. And this is just another example. However, the ballot question certainly was a new format.
Are there other states that are dealing with the issue of wolf hunting, and is the political process playing out there as well, perhaps differently?
It's the political process and the judicial process. Earlier this year, a federal judge told the state of Wyoming that they could not hunt wolves anymore until they had figured out a better way to comply with the Endangered Species Act. So that stopped the hunting season in Wyoming. And the Wyoming legislature had designated a large portion of Wyoming as they were classified as a varmint, so they could be shot on site. And in other parts, they allowed a little too close to Yellowstone, some of the radio-collared wolves were shot, and that started a public upheaval. So Wyoming is certainly one of them. Hunting with dogs in Wisconsin has been extremely controversial, and that's got into the political process. So usually wherever wolves are present, it is hard to escape the politics of it.
And are we hearing more about this issue now because of more wolves being sighted or more wolves being seen? And is that a reflection of the wolf not being an endangered species any longer?
I think all of the above is probably true. The wolf numbers have increased, and we need to give a lot of credit to the wolves themselves. And people are seeing more wolves, and they are perceiving them or actually seeing them interact with deer. And some people have some strong possessional qualities about deer, and other people don't. But there are controversies from the religious eras have been surrounded. Wolves have been just surrounded by those controversies. And the Europeans brought it over to the United States, and there was a war on predators in 1914 that just tried to wipe out cougars, bears, and wolves. But wolves really took the brunt of the controversy.
So you're saying there's more that goes into the whole debate on wolves than just figuring out how the food chain, for instance, might be affected by wolf activity.
Yes, the perception of wolves, it's so steeped in legends and myths, and as much as science tries to counter some of that information, you really have to work hard to get past some of those old husband's tales, as I call them, to get to the real root of the actual and the science of wolves.
So give us a thumbnail sketch. What is the science of wolves? Are we, for instance, in danger of wolves going back to being an endangered species?
I don't think at this point we're in any threat of the wolves being going back to an endangered species. In fact, we're seeing wolves doing what wolves do, which is dispersing very long distances into other locations to form new packs. And we're seeing those animals coming. They're having to go through some very crowded areas, human habitat, and then trying to resettle. And it's a difficult time for a wolf because as they're dispersing, they're leaving their home territory, they're going into new territory, and they're trying to find a mate. And so the food issues, they need to eat. Sometimes livestock is a little more available and easier to prey on than the wild animals. And so it really gets to be a challenge for wolves. But they are succeeding. And the issue in Michigan is a prime example. Wolves from Minnesota traversed, went down south of Duluth, traversed over into Wisconsin, and then left Wisconsin, went over to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. The recovered number of wolves in Michigan was originally supposed to be 50 wolves. You are now between 600 and 700 wolves. So this really says a lot about the wolf just as an animal itself, and the fact that it can travel long distances unseen and without conflict. But then once they get established, that's where some of the conflict gets started. And they certainly do eat livestock, a very small percentage. But if it is your income, it is a problem.
And right, I was just going to say, if you're a farmer in the Upper Peninsula and you hear 600 to 700 wolves, that figure that you gave us, do you start to worry that your livelihood is going to be affected by the number of wolves who are in the general vicinity?
If a wolf goes into an area with livestock and is successful, the chance of them repeating that offense is pretty good. Think of it as going into your refrigerator and picking out something easy. The livestock is a much easier source of food for them. And you get into a habit of doing that. And those, it's pretty strong across the board agreement that those offending wolves need to be taken care of. And so that doesn't seem to be as big a controversy. It gets to be a little more when they say, oh, they're going to kill our kids at the school bus stop. They're going to, I can't go running in these areas, and I'm going to be attacked by wolves, all that sort of stuff. Those are from old myths, from the olden days, although there have been a couple incidences in North America where two people have been killed by wolves.
So are people then overreacting if they see a wolf as a threat to human being safety?
Well, let's look at the statistics. Just in the Boundary Waters canoe area, the wilderness area in northeastern Minnesota, 1 million people have gone into that wilderness. And that place is comfortably populated with wolves, and there's been no problem. So the most likely scenario is that a wolf will hear, smell, and see you long before you see it, and it will avoid you.
So is there a legitimate argument to be made that hunting is a way to address some of the issues that you mentioned, like, livestock being eaten by the wolves? And is there a risk of overpopulation of the wolves? And is hunting a way to remedy that?
A lot of questions here.
Take them one at a time.
As I mentioned before, livestock, the taking of livestock is a problem. And what we've seen in Minnesota is that if there has been a high hunting of wolves in some of these agricultural areas, the conflict does go down between farmers and ranchers and wolves. So there is some, you can say there is some success with that. Let's see, the second question was...
Could wolves become overpopulated?
Could wolves become overpopulated? That is probably a judgment call. Wolves will do very well if they have enough vulnerable prey, and they'll also do well enough if they have some protection from humans. So that's what has happened in the last few decades, and their numbers have increased quite a bit. Where there does get to be some problems, if you are wanting to hunt moose or caribou, the wolves will do a number on those if they're in a secluded area, like in a valley between two mountains. That's really, that can be a problem. So does managing them ease some of these problems? Yes, it does. And can wolves withstand it? Yes, they can. In Alaska, they've always hunted wolves, and they can hunt up to about 30% of the wolves, and it does not affect the population.
Do you think that the public is capable of learning enough about the science to make a qualified judgment on this, as, apparently we've tried to do in Michigan with a ballot issue, which, again, is probably symbolic? Or is this one of these things where we should perhaps leave it to the professionals who have been studying this for years or decades, who might have a firmer grasp on what a wolf hunt would mean for Michigan?
I like your second option of allowing the professionals to really take charge on how to manage not just wolves, but bears and raccoons or whatever that are deer. The issue here is the public, and are the politicians smart enough to call upon the experts? And Michigan has Dr. Rolf Peterson, and he has studied wolves for decades. He would be a great person to consult with that, but has he? So we have to get beyond the political appointments for game commissioners and whatnot and try to get into the science of it. If we stick with the science, wolves are going to have a future in the United States. But I think along with that science, we also have to make sure we make some decisions on keeping wild lands, because wolves will do better in wild lands. And I just want to give a little push for the Wolf Center. We have Dr. Rolf Peterson on our board. We also have Dr. Dave Meach, the World's Authority on Wolves, and they are always eager to deal with and talk to politicians and the public so that we can see the best outcome for wolves and wild lands.
What is your greatest fear if the policies set regarding wolves are not based on science?
My greatest fear is the wrong people will be making the wrong decisions with the wrong information. And that's not just detrimental to wolves, it's detrimental to all wildlife. It's just that wolves seem to be at the top of the megafauna list of areas where they want to have the public manage these wolves and other wildlife. So I think we need to put a higher regard on the science and the biology for these controversial issues, and we tend not to. We tend to let politics get in the way, and you tend to listen to this anecdotal evidence about this and this and this and that, which doesn't have any basis in science.
Nancy Gibson, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Nancy Gibson is the co-founder of the International Wolf Center in Ely, Minnesota. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.